We're going to continue to look at those major themes in the book of Isaiah. And then I had picked a couple prophecies that if we get to them, and how many ever we get to is fine, we don't have to get through all of them, but we would look at some of those prophecies that he spoke of that then came true that we read about in the New Testament. And then what I want to do is leave at least 5 to 7 minutes at the very end of class just to talk about, and I've been reminded we quit at 5 after, not 10. So, but is take time to talk about how does the things that Isaiah, because this will be our wrap up to the book, but how do the things that we've studied and looked at in Isaiah apply to our lives today? Okay. So some of the major themes that we started last week, we talked about how God is offended by basically empty religion or your religious practices, but by either a careless heart or an empty heart. We looked at God opposing human pride, which he opposed then. We read about that, and he hates it today. And then we're going to look at, which is our next one on our list here, the foolish idols that men create are destined for destruction. Now, unfortunately, when you get a book of, you know, this many chapters and we got to cover that much ground, we're going to be doing a lot of reading, and I don't know any other way to do that. So today, if I could get some help with reading, we'll be reading about some of these major themes, then we'll make comment about what we see in Isaiah, and then, like I say, we'll get into some of the prophecies. So let's just jump right into it. We, of course, are in the book of Isaiah, so that's where we'll stay today, and that's what we'll be looking at. I'm going to read the first one, and if someone can be, so we're on the, I didn't put the verses up here for you all, did I? Okay, if someone will be turning to chapter 44, verses 9 through 20, and then chapter 46, verses 1 through 7. I'm going to be in Isaiah chapter 2, and I'm going to read verse 20 and 21. And again, this is about idols that man creates that are destined for destruction. Verse 20, it says, "In that day a man will cast away his idols for silver and his idols for gold, which they made, each for himself to worship, to the moles and bats, to go into the clefts of the rocks and into the crags of rugged rocks, from the terror of the Lord and the glory of his majesty, when he arises to shake the earth mightily." All right, somebody have chapter 44, verses 9 through 20. Okay, thanks. I know that's a lot of reading, and we're going to come to passages like this where there's a lot to read, but it's hard to read this and just not think how silly it is. You know, he goes into this great detail about what goes into making these idols and these craftsmen and these great things they do, and how you take a chunk of wood and with half of it you're creating an idol. The other half you throw it in the wood and you say, oh, it stay warm. And then the other half you're bowing down to. Just it's kind of sad and silly, but he reminds us that those are just for destruction. Who's got chapter 46, 1 through 7? Okay, thanks, Eric. Again, we read about these idols that are good for absolutely nothing. They do nothing, and they're created. But, mankind, for whatever reason, has turned to them, and they cry to them, they bow down to them, and what does it do for them? Absolutely nothing. Yeah, Mike. Yeah. Yeah.
World news. And
yeah.
It still is.
Yeah.
Hundreds of years old, and people just worship that place.
Yeah.
And all these.
And the beauty of it. Yeah.
England and France and all these places people go, and they just worship all the stained glass and the architecture. That means nothing to that.
Yeah. Nothing. Yeah. Yep. Great, great point. So those things are empty. And
that's right, because it's where they go worship God.
To worship, yeah. Yep. Great point. All right, any other comments about that? Okay, well, let's get into the next major theme I think we see in Isaiah is God's judgment will reduce Israel to a remnant. And there's a lot I just grabbed, again, three passages. I'll read in chapter 1. Will somebody go to chapter 40, verses 1 through 2? And I'm just going to reference it. I mean, you know, I encouraged all of you to read the book. You could basically read in chapter 6 all the way through chapter 12, and that's what he talks about. I mean, just reducing Israel to a remnant. I'll read Isaiah chapter 1, verse 9. And again, we could look through the whole book, but it says, "Unless the Lord of hosts had left to us a very small remnant, he would have become like Sodom. He would have been made like Gomorrah." And we could read more. Will somebody read chapter 40, verses 1 through 2? Okay. From this remnant, what do we know will happen? What happens from this very, very small remnant?
Well, Jews would be reestablished in their homeland, and eventually Christ would come from that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. So he's going to raise up his holy people, and it's from this very, very small remnant that we see. Okay, let's look at some more themes here. God uses everything, even human sin, for his own glory. That seems odd, but we know, and we can look throughout the Bible, that that happens. Let's turn to Isaiah 44. I'll try to I'll split this up with someone. I think it's good for us to read it. But Isaiah 44, and I'm in verse 24, and I'll read, this goes into chapter 45. Let's see, verse 24. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, and he who formed you from the womb, I am the Lord who makes all things, who stretches out the heavens all alone, who spreads abroad the earth by myself, who frustrates the signs of the babblers and drives diviners mad, and who turns wise men backward and makes their knowledge foolishness, who confirms the word of his servant and performs the counsel of his messengers, who says to Jerusalem, you shall be inhabited, to the cities of Judah, you shall be built, and I will raise up her waste places, who says to the deep, be dry, and I will dry up your rivers, who says of Cyrus, he is my shepherd, and he shall perform all my pleasure, even saying to Jerusalem, you shall be built, and to the temple your foundation shall be laid. I'll go into chapter 45. Thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have held, to subdue nations before him, and loose the armor of kings, to open up from him the double doors, so that the gates will not be shut. I will go before you and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron. I will give you the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that you may know that I, the Lord, who call you by your name, am the God of Israel. For Jacob my servant's sake and Israel my elect, I have even called you by name. I have named you, though you have not known me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. There is no God besides me. And I will gird you, though you have not known me, that you may have known from the rising of the sun to its setting, that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create calamity. I, the Lord, do all these things. Rain down, you heavens from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open them, bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. Woe to him who strives with his maker. Let his potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him who forms it, what are you making? Or shall your handiwork say, he has no hands? Woe to him who says to his father, what are you begetting? Or to the woman, what have you brought forth? Thus says the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and his maker, and ask me of these things to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands. You command me. I have made the earth and created man on it. It was I. My hands have stretched out of the heavens, and all their host I have commanded. I have raised him up in the righteousness, and I will direct all his ways. He shall build my city and let my exiles go free, not the price nor reward, says the Lord of hosts. We know that God, all the way from early on until today, still allows for or uses human beings for his glory. And whether that means those who are sinners, that means those who are revilers or evil, he has used them. And he continues to use them, but all for his glory. And that we can go, again, this it's chock full of items that we could look at. Any other comments about God using even human sin for his glory?
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. Yep. Cyrus was used. That's right. A perfect example in that story. Okay. The next theme, and again, we're looking at major themes in Isaiah, and we'll do this for another 10 minutes, and then we'll talk about application to our lives. All people are called to repent of sin and trust in God alone. This is a big one. I mean, this theme we could spend all hour talking about, and it would be a good one. Let me have some help reading. In chapter 12, verse 2, someone read 26, verse 3 through 4. Someone 32, 17 through 18. And then I'm going to read chapter 50, verse 10. And then if I can get one more person to help in chapter 66, verse 2. Okay, who has chapter 12 and 2? Just 12, 2.
Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation.
Okay, thank you. Who's got 26, 3 through 4? Okay, thank you. 32, 17, and 18. Okay, I'm in 50 and 10. Who among you fears the Lord? Who obeys the voice of his servant? Who walks in darkness and has no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely upon his God. Someone 66, verse 2.
For all those things my hand has made, all those things you did, said the Lord. From this point will I look on him who is poor and his contrite spirit, and trembles at my word.
Okay. All of these themes that we're looking at in this book are super important, but if there is one that resonated for me, today, you know, you think about everything that's going on and everything that God seems to be warning us and reminding us that he is coming. This one seems to fit, you know, the best for me. And it's about trusting in him. And we as mankind, for whatever reason, we'll put our trust in a lot of things. But trusting in God and God only is the most important. And this one, I think, hits home, and we could, again, spend all day on it. Often when God's people feel abandoned by him, they foolishly trust in worldly powers. And again, going right along with what we're just talking about, will someone turn to chapter 31 and read verses 1 through 3? And then I'll read in chapter 39. 31, 1 through 3. Okay, thank you. In chapter 39, I'll read these 8 verses. At that time, Merodach Baladan, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent letters and a present to Hezekiah for the herd that he had, for he had heard that he had been sick and had recovered. And Hezekiah was pleased with them and showed them the house of the treasures, the silver and gold, the spices and precious ointment, and all of his armory. All that was found among the treasures, there was nothing in his house or in his dominion that Hezekiah did not show them. Then Isaiah the prophet, who went to King Hezekiah, said to him, "What did these men say, and from where did they come to you?" And Hezekiah said, "They came to me from a far country, from Babylon." And he said, "What have they seen in your house?" So Hezekiah answered, "They have seen all that is in my house. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not shown them." Then Isaiah said to Hezekiah, "Hear the word of the Lord of hosts. Behold, the days are coming when all that is in your house and what your fathers have accumulated until this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, says the Lord. And they shall take away some of your sons who will descend from you, whom you will beget, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon." Then Hezekiah said to Isaiah, "The word of the Lord which you have spoken is good." For he said, "At least there will be peace and truth in my days." So here, you know, we have this example of him showing them everything and Isaiah pointing out that you have put trust in all of these things. You know, you've trusted in all this wealth, this power, everything, and unfortunately, you've put your trust in worldly power, and it's good for nothing, you know. Okay, we'll look at one more here real quickly, and then we'll talk about Isaiah just in general. God's faithfulness and the certainty of his final victory should motivate his people to pray and to be obedient. And again, very fitting for us today. Will someone turn to chapter 56, verses 1 through 2? Okay, and then I'm not going to do it. We're just out of time. But in your own time, read chapter 62 through 64. So if you haven't read the book, read this, and you're going to see what Jerusalem's future is all about, and the vengeance that God is going to take. And it's great for us to see the motivation that is being used for His people to be obedient. Be obedient and pray. And then we'll just look at a couple more verses here, and then we'll go to the overall theme. The wrath of God is to be feared above all else. Will someone turn to 9 and 19? And then someone 13, verse 9. We'll look at just those two, and then I'll read one from 34. But so this is the wrath of God is to be feared above everything else.
Through the wrath of the Lord opposed, the land is scorched, and the people are like fuel for the fire. No one spares another.
Okay. 13 and 9. Okay. And then I'm going to go to 65, verses 15 and 16. You shall have your name as a curse to my chosen, for the Lord God will slay you and call his servants by another name, so that he who blesses himself in the earth shall bless himself in the God of truth, and he who swears in the earth shall swear by the God of truth, because the former troubles are forgotten and because they are hidden from my eyes. We know that we are to be fearful of his wrath, and you know the fear is probably the beginning place for a lot of us. So, okay, we're down to about 10 minutes, and I know I had said, and what we'll do is I'll flash up here, and we won't read any of this, but these are some prophecies that we could, and this was not, I guess you can maybe see parts of it. It really wasn't intended to be put up there. It was for my notes, but all of these things are prophecies that they prophesied in the book of Isaiah that we can go to the New Testament and read that were fulfilled. The Messiah was going to be born of a virgin. The Messiah would be heir to King David's throne. A messenger would prepare the way for the Messiah. The Messiah would be rejected by his own people. He was going to be called a Nazarene. He would bring light to Galilee. He would speak in parables, and all of this is really, really good to see, and then go look in the New Testament. He would heal the brokenhearted. He would be silent before his accusers. He would be spat on and struck. He would be crucified with criminals, buried with the rich, and he'd be sacrificed for sin. All of those things are items that, and I can give you a handout if you want. They're, again, we're just not going to have time, because next week we're going to try to get into our next prophet. But all of these are neat items to see and read in the book of Isaiah and realize how long before Christ came, and then to see those being fulfilled and come to fruition in the New Testament. So let's go back, and I want to go back and look at and think about maybe our major themes that we looked at. How does the book of Isaiah, so I asked when we first started, and we're going to do this with every prophet, but when you think about this book, you think about what we've read, you think about the warnings, how do all these things apply to our lives today? What should we get from Isaiah that even though he was telling his people then, what can we glean from it today?
Well, the one thing that stood out to me was the fact that all through all these 66 books, God spoke many, many, many times, and he used the term, I am this, I am that, here's what I've done. He was speaking, but there was not one time that we heard an idol speak.
Yeah.
And there was not one thing that an idol did.
Yeah.
All we're talking about idols was about other people talking about them.
Yeah.
But I think that probably the worst kind of an idol was the little G god that the kings, some of the kings and emperors, actually claimed that they were the god.
Mm. Yeah.
And that one might apply to today when we start using the things that are existing, that are physical, and calling them gods. Because they can't match the I am of what our true God does in any way. No way.
Yeah.
And that's good out to me.
That's good. And when you think about that, what does it take for us to have this little G God? How does that happen? And you know, whether we carve it or we put something before God, we're creating an idol for ourselves. Yeah, Ben.
You know, throughout the book of Isaiah, there's a mention of there'll be punishment, there's going to be a return, it will be a remnant.
Yeah.
So there will be some people who are saved, and the people who were being punished, they weren't listening to Isaiah.
Yeah. Sure.
That we can take comfort in knowing that there's going to be a remnant that will be saved.
Yeah.
Just like in the time of Isaiah.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, so don't grow weary in well-doing. Doesn't matter how few of us there is. Doesn't matter. And I think this is going to be a great lesson for our kids. I mean, I'm sure every generation has thought, oh, man, look what that next generation is going to go through. But I do. I look at our kids, and I think, how difficult is it going to be? But doesn't matter how small that remnant is, he's going to provide. I think I saw a hand over here. Nope, maybe not. What else? What else hit home to you that you think is a really, really good lesson for us today? Yeah, there's no new sins. There's no new wickedness. We may think there is, but it's always been there. And I think you said something that's really good there. You know, we're going to be part of it. I mean, we may be in it. We're not of it. And we've got sin going on all around us and still need to do well, to do good. What else can we glean from Isaiah? You know, I said, and I made the comment about him using everything for his own glory. You know, I think sometimes we don't understand leaders. We don't understand maybe what's going on in the time. We don't understand why that leader would be allowed to be in power, or that God may have chosen them. And we just have to understand that there is a plan, And I think no different. I think about leaders today. There are people that are in office, and we as Christians must respond in the right way, but they're there for a reason, and God is utilizing them, and maybe we don't understand that today. No different than they probably didn't understand it then.
The very first verse that you started off
with
in 44, and 13 caught my attention because it said carpenter.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of like that word.
Yeah.
You know, that word carpenter means fabricator.
Yeah.
So that's how we make our images today.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah, that whole passage there about the fabrication and the things that these craftsmen, I think that was another word, you know, the craftsmen and the things that they would do and the details that they would put in these things. And then he makes the point that, you know, you're making it out of the same piece of wood that you just chucked in and you're warming yourself with. And what are they really going to do for you? So that to me was a point that hit home and is important for us. Good.
Probably maybe a little bit more challenging back then because God didn't have a very physical dwelling place on earth for time, and there were craftsmen that carved things specifically.
Beautiful things.
Yeah. God just didn't get it. For us, it's a bit more of a stark contrast to talk about idols when back then they were.
Sure. That's a good point. It is different, right? And God did use a lot of gold and beautiful things in as part of their worship. So I could see some confusion that we today. I mean, back to your dad's comment. You know, people are into these beautiful ornate buildings, and they want to put them up and worship that more than they do the Creator. But yeah, I think it was probably a little more difficult for them. It's a good comment. Okay, well, I'm going to ring the bell, and if you've got any final comments, we'll wrap up there. And then next week, we will start in Jeremiah. So if you want to read ahead, feel free and be reading and studying in Jeremiah.